Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Let's go! LSU has a new running back. Are you kidding me? They switched a defensive player to offense. We're also going to talk about the LSU safety position. Could we be seeing a youth movement pretty soon? Let's go.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the crib. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the crib. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter.
The guy that just keeps jumping out at me in terms of what he accomplished was, you know, Juwan Johnson. I mean, he broke every record. I mean, and like you watch him and you go, wow, he's going to play this position. And then you watch him again, you go, well, maybe he can play this position. And then you watch him again and you go, no, he can play this position. So
Juwan Johnson is now a running back for LSU after the injury to John Emery. Brian Kelly just confirmed that at his Thursday press conference. We'll get into everything he has to say. This is a move that makes a lot of sense on so many different levels. Obviously, Major Burns will remain the star nickel corner slash safety role. And that was a role that Juwan Johnson had started working on. Actually moved his way up the depth chart. But since then, there are guys like Jair Brown who play some of that position as well in some nickel and dime packages. So I would expect him to be Major Burns' top backup. But Juwan Johnson will play running back for LSU on Saturday versus Nichols. Now, it's still going to be the Caleb Jackson and Josh Williams show. You're also going to get a lot out of Caden Durham, who himself was one of the most productive running backs in the history of Texas high school football. So I still think mostly those three guys are going to get the most run. But for those that do not know, Juwan Johnson is the record holder of everything offensively in the state of Louisiana. So he is no stranger to playing with the football in his hands, even though he was more so a quarterback than he was a running back. And as many of you know, I like my running backs thick. He's not really that big of a guy, but he is unfreaking believably gifted with the football in his hands for anyone that watched him in high school. So Brian Kelly has talked not only about that, but quite a few different things. I plan on going live at 5, but then I knew Brian Kelly was going to go live, so I just decided to do it afterwards. So more than likely moving forward on Thursdays, we will do our live streams at 5:30 or after Brian Kelly does his Thursday night press conference. So for me, one thing that I don't believe was asked was the safety play, right? A lot of you were critical of the safety play, and I don't always agree with Pro Football Focus's grading, but they did have Jordan Gilbert as their lowest graded player. I do tend to agree with that defensively, And he is out for the first half of the game versus Nichols because of the targeting penalty at the end of the game versus USC. And then, of course, there is the Jordan Allen story where he is dealing with a lower body injury himself. So you could, on Saturday, see a youth movement at defensive back with two different players starting at safety. I did see Kylan Jackson play some. He didn't play a lot versus USC, but he did get some run, as did Deshaun Spears. I would not be shocked that that is your starting safety duo on Saturday versus Nichols. Now, as many of you know, we do a pregame, halftime, and postgame show. We will continue to do that. And we just got a phone call, some potential new partners joining us here on PHL. And if you want your business to grow and you want to grow with, I actually posted quite a few of my YouTube analytics earlier today. We are actually crushing it on all three of our networks, Power Hour SEC, Power Hour NFL, Power Hour LSU. So feel free to hit us up. Now, this is something I told you before the game, all right? And it's something that nobody really, really wanted to admit, okay? But I was able to admit it because every single media person out there wanted to say that LSU versus USC was a must-win game. It was a must-win game. And the answer to that is that it wasn't a must-win game. It is not a game that you needed to win to go to the college football playoff. Did it make your run to the college football playoff that much harder? Yes. Did it make your college football playoff run here potentially something you can't overcome? Sure, but we don't know that yet. You're telling me by looking at the easiest LSU schedule that they have had in quite a long time that they can't overcome that and go 10-1 the rest of the way? Because I think at this point, we would all agree that a 10-2 SEC team is not going to be left out of the playoff. Now, you might not host a playoff game. The loss to USC might have hurt LSU when it comes to doing that very thing. But they are still in a spot where they can go 10-2 and make it to the college football playoff. I do think they're going to need to go 10-2. I don't think a 9-3 LSU finds a way in. But I do see a path forward for LSU. So this is part of why I think the USC loss is overrated in two different ways. Number one, LSU is not out of the playoff. Number two, let's not act like LSU just went out there and played terribly. They did not play bad football. I would say that they played actually pretty good. USC just made more plays. They had a few extra playmakers that LSU did not have. Does Chris Hilton change the game for LSU? Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. But I do feel defensively they had a few extra guys that can go out there and make you a play or two. I do think still that this was an evenly matched game where if they played again, LSU might still be favored by half a point, point. USC might be favored by a point or two. Still, if they played again, I don't think USC is going to win. I think if they play 10 times, maybe USC wins 6 out of 10 times and LSU wins 6 out of the 10 times or 4 out of the 10 times, whatever. So I truly do believe LSU still is in the mix to make a run to the college football playoff. I don't think that's a biased take. I don't. I really, really, really don't. So we're going to Mystic Rain. I don't think 10-1 is enough. You have to beat Ole Miss and Alabama for quality wins. No, I think 10-2 gets you in, even if those losses are to Ole Miss and Alabama, okay? If you win one or the other, you're going to be at, what, 10-2. Now, you can't lose both. If you lose both, that will get you at 3 losses, and then you're pretty much out of it. You'll probably be in that 16-17 range at 9-3. But if you only lose one, I think you're finding a way through. I do. Now, would that be the most impressive 10-2 resume? Probably not, which is why LSU is unlikely to host a playoff game at this point, which is something I desperately wanted for the program. But that's not here nor there. Now, the next thing, I want to chat a little bit about a few different things Brian Kelly said there about Aaron Anderson and Kamarion Pimpton. He was excited about their growth. He said Kamarion Pimpton's about where Aaron Anderson was last year. Extremely talented, but still learning and picking up on things. I am of the belief that LSU will still have other good receivers outside of Kyren Lacy. I am not totally sold on Aaron Anderson's performance versus USC. Was it a good performance? Yeah. Does Aaron Anderson have the ability to be the wide receiver two on this team? Yeah, he does. He does. I just don't think the game was as otherworldly as some others have tried to make it. He had a good game, right? He had a good game. I don't think it was spectacular. And I still think C.J. Daniels, Chris Hilton, and Xavion Thomas will be more productive receivers this year. Now, that doesn't mean Aaron's not going to be good for LSU this year at all. He's going to be very solid. But I think those other three give you a little bit more upside after the catch. So I hope Aaron continues to play consistently. I do. But we'll see what happens. I don't want anyone getting carried away thinking Aaron Anderson is going to become a superstar. I think a lot of his success was the byproduct of other people getting him open, which was the case in particular on that last deep ball where Kyren was doubled and that opened Aaron on the deep over, on the deep dig or whatever. So it is interesting. I also think Brian Kelly, you know, he was asked a lot about the running game and a few other injuries. Let's start with the injuries. Garrett Dellinger is dealing with a concussion. I don't want to speculate on when the concussion came. It might have come in practice. I don't know. But Dellinger did get blown up a few times on pulls, right? It was a very physical game for him. Now, some other injury news. Obviously, we touched on Jordan Allen, talked about Jordan Gilbert being hurt, and then we know John Emery. But I do think in this game versus Nichols, it is a little bit different considering that LSU was on a West Coast trip and then they had to fly all the way cross country back to Baton Rouge. They get in at 5 in the morning. So this has been an extremely short week. Body clocks are exhausted because you did play the Sunday night primetime game, right? It was different than coming back from Orlando where you're gaining hours, right? You're coming back from Vegas and losing hours. And you're playing a better team in week two than you did last year. And you're playing a better team in week two than you did a few years ago when you got Southern in week two. So you go from Southern, you go to Grambling, and now you get to Nichols. I do think Nichols is a better team than both of those teams. So I do think you might see a little bit more of a cautious approach in terms of snap counts going into this next week. Okay. Now, shout out to Kedrick, shout out to Alex, Pegasus, yes, indeed, Xavion Thomas. And tonight, once again, get this out, first $20 super chat, Traven Dural autograph numbered card is going to you. And we do have a bunch of new Patreon signups. I really do appreciate it. I really do think all of you would love the Patreon. It gets you Discord access at the $9.99 tier. And on top of that, you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. Get all my extra film studies, my game grades, and so on and so on. And my one biggest stock up and one biggest stock down, Tiger, from this past weekend versus USC. Okay? Mystic Rain says, we need utter chaos for other playoff teams. ACC is only going to get one in, okay? Big 12 is only going to get one in. Notre Dame and G5 takes two spots, okay? OSU, PSU, Michigan, and USC will compete for spots. Yeah, it's true. It's true. But once again, are they really going to leave a 10-2 LSU team out? I don't think they are. I don't. I really, really, really don't. They might be team number 11, but they're getting in. Side of Cliff, the Prez, okay? And we side of Sibley. Now, I do have something very special for all of you, and I wasn't able to do this for the film study, and bang, these are pretty much every single friend of the channel, fan, supporter that I got to meet in freaking Vegas. Okay. Obviously, there's Jay Hill right there. I really appreciate everyone that stopped, said hi. It was obviously, it's still kind of strange to get stopped like that, but for the most part, man, this trip was legendary outside of not getting the W. Hey, here's Deontay Murray. Did you know Deontay Murray? He stopped me saying, man, dude, I tune in every night. And I was like, dang, D. Murray, that's crazy, man. Please bring us home a Larry O'Brien. So, shout out to him, okay? Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. I know Cliff saw himself in there, okay? And Sibley says, F the jet lag. Young kids can jump off to play and play full court basketball. Let's go to Cliff. Once Pinton learns his blocking assignments, this offense will really hum. Yeah, so I'm actually defending Kamarion Pinton in his blocking. Yeah, he got blown up twice. But on both of those plays, were they really his fault?
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Not really. Okay. I thought his blocking overall was fine. I thought he had some really good blocks actually in this game, but you are right. Overall, you know, he's still working on it. And if he gets good at it, he is going to truly be great at LSU. Okay. Now, my goal tonight, I need to do a better job of setting my goals. My goals tonight are $50 in Super Chats. $50. That is my goal. That's about what I need to make to keep the lights on. That is my goal. And I think we'll comfortably accomplish that. Now, I want to talk about a few other things from Brian Kelly's press conference just a minute ago. You know, they asked him like a very open and vague question about how do you feel about the trajectory of your program? And do you feel the championship desire or something along those lines? Look, do I still believe Brian Kelly can coach LSU to a national championship? Yes. But one thing I would say, and this really will receive some blowback because, well, in this first two seasons, we do have two 10-win seasons. But I think we're to the point now, though, where as many great things that Brian Kelly has accomplished since he's been at LSU, there have been some major coaching mistakes at the same time. And I would say they're about even. Like, the biggest thing that Brian Kelly has turned LSU into is an offensive line factory and a tight end factory. Now, did they play as well as we would have liked this past weekend? No. I think every single offensive lineman would sit here and tell you that. They did not play as well as we would have liked. But the truth is, our offensive line recruiting has hit a level it's never hit before, and that's because a big reason is Brian Kelly and Will Campbell, of course, but Brian Kelly and Brad Davis, okay? And then obviously, the tight end growth has been absolutely amazing. We've also won a Heisman, had really good development. We've gotten more organized as a program behind the scenes, communication, all those different things. But the negatives are these losses, right? Where you could point to and say, man, we were not prepared. Man, we were not the absolute best coach. And it's not necessarily just Brian Kelly. It's who he chose to hire, right? And ultimately, it all comes back to him. So I think Brian Kelly slamming his fist on the desk, you know, like I've always said, if you listen closely to the press conferences, he will tell you like, he'll tell it like it is, right? He has said that, yeah, we are on the right trajectory. We are recruiting at the level we need to recruit. And Brian Kelly has still done a lot of really good things coaching this team. But, man, there are quite a few losses that have been out there for LSU that you would like to have back. And hopefully these types of losses don't continue to happen, in particular season openers, as many of you know. But also, you know, we were mostly good in close games, early in the Brian Kelly tenure. And now we're starting to lose some of these close in the balance kind of games, Ole Miss last year, and then, of course, this game here versus USC. So, you know, some would say those things are just averaging themselves out, but I would also say there's a few different things that we could have done to win those said games. Okay. Now, look at that. Already passed halfway there. The 251 Mobile, Alabama. Roby holding it down. We got so many Alabama PHL viewers. So many. It makes me want to say, Roll Tigers. Love it, Roby. Thank you so much. And Michael Roby, I'm sorry I didn't FaceTime you when I saw Deontay Murray in Vegas. Because there's, well, Pierce is definitely up there. Doc B is definitely up there when it comes to the biggest Pelican fans. TJ Carr is definitely up there as well. But Roby might be the absolute number one Pelicans fan on here. Okay? Let's go to Taylor. This team can still do great things. If we had just made a couple more plays, we win. 2019 is the goat, but if we don't make the 3rd-and-17 play, we may have lost. Absolutely. Pieces are there. We just got to make those key plays. Yeah, so let's talk about some of the key plays. And, Roby, if you have a different question, let me know. I'll go ahead and answer this from Marky Mark because it does look like he is a first-time commenter. Okay? It's not going to cost us any recruits. It's not. Okay. It's not going to cost us any recruits. I'll say it again. If LSU were to go 7-5, maybe. But 8-4, no. And by the way, they're not going to go 7-5. The schedule is too easy. 8-4 is definitely possible. 9-3. 9-3 is definitely the most plausible scenario here for LSU. So this is a really good super chat here from Taylor, the documentarian, very talented guy. Let's start with the difficult plays, all right? And let's go through just a few of the USC difficult plays that Taylor is referencing, okay? Sometimes the other team, and you see this more in the NFL because everybody's good, but in the NFL, everybody makes extraordinary plays, right? That's why, you know, there's not as many explosive plays. Everybody's smart. There's not as many blown coverages. Everyone's playing comfortable two high shells and everybody could tackle for the most part. In college, you rarely see that, right? College has a lot of weak links. And there's weak links in the NFL as well. But once again, everybody's good. And the thing to run into is if you play another good team, they have a lot of athletes that can make extraordinary plays. I still go back to the opening kickoff. That tackle made by number 24 was an extraordinarily difficult play. And I think for a lot of people that didn't play football, you know, I think the scariest thing that you can do is play kickoff. Kickoff team, even with targeting not being what it like slowing things down, it's why the NFL got rid of the old kickoff, right? It's difficult to play kickoff team. It is full speed collisions. I am pretty sure I've gotten a concussion playing kickoff team. It sucks. So to make that tackle that the USC player did on the very first play of the game is extraordinary. All the catches they made, extraordinary. Miller Moss throwing that football through Whit Weeks' arm, extraordinary. They made a lot of extraordinary plays. And defensively, you know, Gio Pius made some very difficult plays. Savion Jones, of course, was so freaking good in this game. Whit Weeks made an extraordinary play. Harold Perkins did. Obviously, Ashton Stamps made a lot of them this past weekend. But USC ultimately just made more than we did. And when it gets down into crunch time, we can get into play calling and all of that. We have got to do a better job of having guys step up and make those types of plays, right? And sometimes those plays are routine. Gary Nussmeier missing Aaron Anderson on the rollout. And yeah, I push back on you know, people overhyping Aaron Anderson's performance. Well, you make a decent throw right there, Aaron is at least picking up a first down. Okay. So you've got to be able to make that throw. And look.
Oh, you're live?
Yeah, we're live. You've got to be able to make that throw. We can do it, salmon. You've got to be able to make the throw. Got to be able to make that throw. So sometimes it's a very ordinary play that you need to be able to make. All right. Now, it's a very good super chat. Now, Roby did have a Pelicans question, so we're going to do a trade BI, please. I agree. I'm not smart enough on how to get that done. Let's go to Pegasus here, okay? Loving the energy in the chat. Carter, what do we... Carter, suppose... Oh, okay. I think Ricky will be your top backup, okay? Let's go to Roby. A 969. Nice. You got two questions. You have a new QB and seven new coaches. Why don't you schedule South Alabama the first week and not a big program? Just a money thing. Okay. Very good question. And one that we more so addressed yesterday, but we'll do it again now. There is a huge, and I mean huge benefit of LSU playing the Sunday night opening week primetime game. You are the only game being played. All right. Now, the NFL is thinking about pushing back to Labor Day or pushing up to Labor Day, so you wouldn't be the only thing. But there is so much value in being that only game. What was it? 9.69 million people watch. That is absurd. Absolutely absurd for just a season opening college football game. So not only do you have that, when you play these neutral siders like this, you get 5 million. LSU got paid $5 million. And Sibley actually knows the exact numbers. And they cover a lot of your expenses as well. Because you're going out of the way to play a neutral site game. And, you know, the sponsor and all of that covers it. And, you know, you get to play in an area that could draw a different type of recruit. So, it honestly is a money thing. You know, it's a neutral site game. They're covering your expenses. You're not having to pay a school to play them. LSU, of course, is paying Nichols, what is it, $750K to play this game this weekend. So there's a lot of benefits in it. You know, a lot of higher-ups like the neutral siders. But the truth is, I am the believer, a strong believer, in scheduling a tune-up game before playing a difficult season opening game. Any way you slice it, it makes no sense to not do that, all right? Now, I'm not saying LSU should use that as an excuse to not go out there and win that season opening game. Two things can be true at once, right? But, you know, Taylor brought up the 2019 team. Do you think that they would have had the passing performance they had versus Texas if they didn't have a tune-up game the week before? I would like to think that they would have, because they are the best college football offense of all time, but we don't know that. We really, really, really don't know that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm of the belief that you should play a very weak season opening game. College football has no preseason. College football has the most roster volatility of any sport that we have, probably at any level. You have coaching volatility more so than any other sport, not only in terms of head coaches, but in terms of assistant coaches. So if you have all these different things, why are you just going into a game raw? I'll use that analogy. Why would you go in raw? No, be safe. Be safe. All right. But no, we're going all in. Because the truth is, you're also losing equity versus the rest of the teams in the SEC. Because most teams in the SEC do not play Power 5 teams in week one. About 33% of the teams in the SEC play a Power 5 season opening game, or Power 4, or whatever. Okay? So Free Woo says, I disagree. You win these openers, and they do so much for your team's confidence. Okay, this is so easy to tear apart. All right. Well, no duh. Okay, no duh. If you win the opening game, does a lot for your confidence. But you're not winning them. You're not freaking winning them. How stupid? How stupid is that comment? You're not winning them. Okay? Who gives a crap about confidence? You're not winning them. You're putting yourself in a hole every single year. Okay? And over the last three seasons, you can tie all together that the team is not prepared, right? We're not, whether it's play calling or, you know, game management or whatever, it's three consecutive seasons. Five now, all right? While the rest of the SEC doesn't do this, okay? Georgia can do it because they have Kirby Smart and the most talent, okay? They've got it covered. We don't have it covered, okay? Be rational here. Be rational. Of course it helps your team's confidence, okay? But historically, LSU has not played well in these games. All right, there are very few instances where LSU has put the foot on the gas pedal versus a Power 5 team in week one. 2007 when they beat the brakes off Mississippi State. 2011 when they beat the brakes off of Oregon. Sure, okay. But even in the Miles era, all right. Once again, I'm not saying that that's an excuse. I'm not saying that at all. But do you like digging yourself a hole each and every year? And on top of that, all right, and this is why it's even dumber to do this in week one. College teams really stink at picking the right quarterbacks, okay? And the truth is, LSU did pick the right quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier and still lost. A reason why a lot of teams lose these season opening week one games is that they don't have the right quarterback picked. LSU has still lost these games when they've had good quarterback play or good quarterbacks in general. They're still losing the games. Still losing them. All right? So that's oftentimes why teams lose in week one. They don't have the right quarterback pick. You're still losing, and you have the guy. It is nonsensical to do this year in and year out. Now, sure, the money makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. Okay, I'll let you follow up. Well, this playoff system changes that and makes you way better. No, it doesn't. The playoff system, actually, the playoffs, like I've said, to start today's show, why I said the USC loss is overrated. LSU very well still could make it to the playoff. They played good. They played good versus USC, just not good enough. Okay? But the thing is, and this is why this a lot of people get this so mixed up. The expansion of the playoff still does not incentivize teams to schedule harder, okay? It doesn't. Oh, okay. Yes. So, whatever the case may be, I didn't mean to blow up at you, but the truth is you should have a tune-up game, okay? It's just how I've always felt. All right, I understand LSU shouldn't have excuses and they should go out and win it. That should be the case for every program, all right? But the reality of college football is it's not like other sports. If I'm a college basketball team, I want to play an absolutely positively brutal season opener because there's really no downside of losing it. But if you win it, it still goes towards your RPI, and it's still one of those things when you're trying to get into the tournament that, hey, you beat this team in the Maui Invitational or whatever. If you lose it, nobody gives a shit. Nobody gives a shit. College football is not like that. I agree with playing a very difficult season opener in every sport outside of college football where there's no preseason. You only practice in your own facility. You only play against your own facility. There's no inter-squad scrimmages at all. Transfer portal, new coaches, all those different things. It is – and I've said this because I love all sports. I follow soccer. I follow all of it. Outside of hockey. Hockey sucks. College football is so much different than all the other sports. It is so much different. Okay? Every other sport has preseason. Every other sport has scrimmages. Inter-squad practice. College football, no. And the season opening game matters more in college football than any of the others. So why do you play a difficult team? Okay. Let's go to Dane. LSU likes to give the rest of the league a false sense of security by losing the season's first game. Trust the process. I love it. Dane, I not only want to say thank you for supporting me, but supporting my dear friend Blake Ruffino. Goes a long way. Wouldn't be able to do this without your financial support. Thank you. But, yeah, I'll tell you this. Don't sleep on this team. I don't think that this team played bad. I really don't. I saw someone mention earlier, Blake Baker, some of the exotic packages. I think it actually was Jay Wu. Yeah, that was an issue. Like, the Prowler stuff did some good things. We weren't quite able to make the play. But we also had some situations where we're just kind of all over the place and just exotic for the case of being exotic. But, man, I really do believe that Blake Baker has made our defense already better. And I think a lot of you saw it. Okay? Now, I would agree with you. These games were scheduled years ago. All right? So there's nothing you could do. I mean, we're locked into it for the next few years with Clemson. Okay, you're locked into it. Okay. So, you know, it's a dying argument. So you're right, and I'll move on from it. Okay. I am not. Well, you know what's funny? Actually, one of my favorite collectibles is when I went to a Vegas Golden Knights game. That was pretty fun. Okay. Williams back? Is Pigeon Forge is back? Let's go. I thought you would never come back, my brother. So, coming up right after this, y'all, we have got to have a real, real, real discussion about this LSU offensive line. Did we overhype them before the season? The answer to that is, well, maybe. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's XYANImaging.com. All right, Free Woo. I know I jumped on you a minute ago. There you go. Well, go check out nooffseason.com, Free Woo. Sign up today for the 30-day free trial, and I will send you a or if you sign up for the Patreon, Free Woo, I will send you a Joe Burrow card in the mail. But I actually do that for everyone. So there you go. Next person that signs up for the 30-day free trial with nooffseason.com, I'm sending you an LSU autographed card. Okay? It's free. It's free. Okay? Now, I know some of you want to talk some Caden Durham. Okay? but I want to talk about this offensive line. Brian Kelly said something in the press conference a minute ago as far as wide receiver alignment when it comes to the running game. So you know what I decided to do? I went to go look at some other teams that ran the football effectively this weekend. And now, look, some of these teams played very, very weak competition. But I saw on Twitter earlier today where Chip Kelly ran for Ohio State, ran the play that we love to run, that drives some of our viewers crazy, inside zone. But Chip Kelly decided to run inside zone, but inverted. Okay, and ended up being a 12, 13-yard run. Okay, I won't show it, but it was a creative way of running inside zone. We do lack some creativity, not only in our run game, but things that we do off of our running game, right? And, you know, Mason Taylor had a pretty big game versus USC, pretty big. And we were using him really well. I think we could have even targeted him even more in this game. We could have used a few extra more, fakes here, tight end leak over here, tight end leak over here. I think we could have done even more when it comes to that. So I am of the belief that our running game needs to be more creative. And a lot of you know that. You just do. Okay? Let's go to William. If we make a couple more plays, we win the game. Got to run the football a little bit better and hit some big plays. Yeah, absolutely. Okay? Let's go to Roby. He wants to talk some Caden Durham. How good is a freshman running back from Duncanville? Will he play this week? Yeah, I think Caden's going to get some run. I would actually be very mad if Caden doesn't get at least 5 to 10 carries. All right? I would love to see him get some run before Juwan Johnson, because you brought Caden Durham in to play running back. You did not bring Juwan Johnson in to play running back. The way I understand it, Caden, when he got here, the speed of things, took some time getting used to, right? He was so much faster than every single person he played against in high school. Outside of course, when he played like real powers like DeSoto, where they had 4 and 5 star guys. But even then, he had a good game versus him last year anyway. So it's been a little bit of a curve for him, but I still had him as a top 5 player in this class, and I'm not going to back off of that. And maybe it's one of those things where let's just get him touches with the lights on and he can take us to the next level. And I still stand by that it would not be the absolute most shocking thing in the world if he plays versus Nichols and he kind of becomes our guy. So I am of the belief that Caden Durham is still a really, really special talent. And I would love to see him play a lot versus Nichols. Like, if he can't, I understand he's just a true freshman, but if you can't dominate Nichols, then all our evals are probably off for him. Okay. Yeah, one team that I watched a good bit today was NC State. I did it for my Tennessee fans on the SEC channel. And I know they played Western Carolina, and they actually barely won that game. But they did a really good job of hitting the flats and being very creative with their passing game. One thing I felt Joe Sloan did that really didn't make a whole lot of sense is – so a lot of Garrett Dellinger is concussed, right? I don't know if he got concussed from practice. It could have been. But Garrett Dellinger got blown up a lot. And when that happens, and I say a lot, it was one time where he pulled where he just got absolutely skull crushed. That means that the other team is really keyed in on what you're doing. All right? And if they're going to do that and they're going to continue to play really downhill, you've really got to do a lot of misdirection stuff. If they're going to play with their feet, their foot on the gas, running towards the line of scrimmage full speed, you've got to leak. You've got to misdirect. You've got to do sleight of hand, basically, right? It becomes a little bit like magic. So You think one thing, but you do the other. And I felt like, you know, I think gone are the days where we're just going to run it down your throat. We're just going to out-physical you. We're just going to out-execute you. You know, one team that is honestly one of the best misdirection teams, they make you think they're doing one thing, but they're doing the other, is honestly Georgia. I mean, Georgia's got the best athletes. They've got the absolute best athletes every year. But they do so many creative things offensively and defensively that really keeps you guessing. So not only are they overpowering you, they're outsmarting you. Okay? So, you know, I feel like we need some more of that on offense. I do. Now, I am going to keep the Thursday ones. I'm going to try to keep it under an hour. But here's a good thing. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as I possibly can. Super chats are flying. Did we get to the $50 goal tonight? 20, 30, 4. Oh, we're $5 away from hitting the $50 mark. And Roby, congratulations. You won a Treyvon Doral autograph card. Roby, send me your email and I will send it out. Okay? What else did I want to get into today? Let's see. Yeah, we're supposed to do this every Thursday. We look at all the SEC games against the number, okay? Let me go pull this up, okay? Scores, SEC, all right. Please check out Power Hour SEC when you can. And by the way, you can give me your college football lock of the week. Texas minus 7 versus Michigan with the total at 42.5. That's a low, low, low total. One game that I do love a lot, Oklahoma State. I think they win by double digits versus Arkansas. So that might be my lock of the week, Cowboys covering. Auburn 13.5 versus Cal. That was such a weird game last year. Kentucky minus 8.5 versus South Carolina. Bounce back spot for Kentucky, who's lost to them two straight years. Shane Beamer and Mark Stoops hate each other. They do. Ole Miss 43-point favorites over Middle Tennessee. 62.5 is a total there. Actually, I think Middle Tennessee there to cover. Alabama in a bounce back from last year, weird South Florida game. The Tide are 31-point favorites. Missouri 34.5 versus Buffalo. Oklahoma 28-point favorites versus Willie Fritz and the Houston Cougars. Tennessee a 10-point favorite. This game was at 7.5. Tennessee on the road. Primetime ABC game, Kirk Herbstreit on the call, and it's gone from 7.5 to 10 just today. Just today. Arizona State, 5.5-point favorites over Mississippi State. Man. One thing I'll say about the Mississippi State game, that game being at 9:30, Mississippi State plays Toledo the next week. Go on ahead, take Toledo in the look-ahead spot. Go on ahead. Tyler, I did not do a fantasy league this year. You did not miss it. I did not do a PHO fantasy league. Now, why did I not do a PHO fantasy league? Well, part of it was just keeping up with it. Last year, it was so tough to get everybody in the draft. And, you know, I just didn't do it with the Vegas trip and all of it. I also got very sick, as many of you know, the month before. So I wanted to focus on my health. I did not want to deal with the stress of putting together a fantasy league. So we'll bring it back next year. But, yeah, you did not miss the PHL fantasy league. You would be the first person I would call about that. Because I think you've won it a few years now. Todd Monken's as good as any OC in college football. Only issue is he's been with the Ravens 2 years. But it is his offense that Mike Bobo is running. Okay? But I do agree Georgia's offensive line is without question the best in the country. Yeah, I mean, they're pretty good up front. Clemson's defensive line's really good too. Gone? Texas beats Michigan by 2 touchdowns. Did you know Michigan's defense is really good? Let's see. Okay, this is what I wanted to show you. Look at Dylan Cruz rocking the Jaden Daniels. Let's go, dude. That's crazy. Both top 5 picks. RIP, Rich Homie Quan. Should have said that earlier. RIP, Rich Homie Quan. Some type of way. So what games players am I watching outside of this weekend? Well, obviously on the SEC channel, I do a lot of Arkansas and Tennessee stuff. I'll continue to cover all the teams, honestly. I'll still do the normal pregame halftime. Pregame might only be like 5 or 10 minutes this weekend because it is not a huge, huge, huge game. Let's see here. Let's look at the rest of the top 25. Obviously, Michigan, Texas, everybody's going to be tuned in for that. Ooh. Let's see, top 25. I'm going to go to top 25. Okay. Not a whole lot of sexy top 25 matchups outside of the SEC either. One thing I would be interested in, though, Pegasus, is how does USC respond? You know, does USC blow out Utah State? They're 28.5-point favorites. I think Clemson going up against Appalachian State after playing the game that they played last week should be very interesting. Clemson's 16.5-point favorites. Would not be shocked if I end up taking Appalachian State. And, of course, this is a game that everybody wants to watch, okay? It's not only Nebraska and Colorado. So, you know, they played this game last year in Boulder, and Colorado blew them out. But Colorado didn't have an offense. They didn't have a quarterback. And now they have Dylan Raiola. So you have two quarterbacks going up against each other, both sons of NFL players, and both could be number one overall picks in their respective NFL drafts. Shador this next year and Raiola – not this next year, but the year after. And Raiola looked really good in the spring game last year and looked really good last week. So I'm cheering for Colorado because Colorado is just a better story. But the truth is, Pegasus, is like after this year, let's just say Deion leaves after Shador leaves. I like when traditional powers come back, right? Tennessee coming back. Miami coming back. Nebraska coming back. It's the same thing I feel in college basketball. It infuriates me that Alabama's good in college basketball because I like traditional powers. And by traditional powers, I like schools that in college basketball that don't have the state name in their title. Okay, that's when I think about college basketball. I would love St. John's to be back. I would love Georgetown to be back. I love those kinds of programs. Villanova. It is shameful that Villanova, they should have fired their coach. Villanova, there's no excuse for them to not be in the tournament every year. It's Villanova, you know? So, Providence. I like those kinds of programs. College football, we would love Nebraska to be back. God, Nebraska fans are great. Miami, the U, love that they're back. Love that they're back. So these kind of traditional powers, I also think it's better for the sport if USC is good. Okay. I think there are some powerful people in college football that are excited that USC won this game. Because if USC is relevant, it's a big deal. JSB, I think we're all rooting for Texas this weekend. Okay. Oh, you want to do a call-in show after the games? Here's what I do, Roby. I'll send you a StreamYard link after this next game. I'll put you on. Okay. I'll put you on next for the next one. So be ready. You got to go on camera. So I'm getting ready to DJ a few events. I got a DJ one Saturday morning, 5K at 5 in the morning. Okay. So what happens is like I don't listen to music every day, like most, you know, because I'm just doing content. I work from home, so I'm not in the car. So I go listen to like the popular songs because you want those popular songs mixed in there, okay? And I had heard of this singer before, but Chappell Roan, what is it? HOTTOGO 5 6 5 6 7 8 HOTTOG. Yeah, that is it. Oh God. Sylvie says, I would like Texas to win, but he just wants his Tigers on top. Mystic says, I root for the downfall of all football teams besides LSU. Yeah, I don't. Especially if they're not in our conference. Like, we're never going to play Nebraska. You know, sure, let's play Miami. We've beaten the crap out of them once. We'll play Miami, sure. I'll play Colorado. I'd love to play Colorado. Let's do it. Let's do it. Okay. Now, that'll just about do it for me. I will be posting a video of the Chiefs and Ravens do a film breakdown. Leon, man, do you know I love the Canes, baby? Throw it up. Let's go. Anytime Florida can lose, I am a happy. Cam Ward for freaking Heisman. Tyler, I wish I was big time. And so, you know, it's funny. So one of my Tennessee videos really blew up. It 30,000 views. It college football videos rarely hit 30,000 views. All right. So the SEC channel is like doing really well in terms of views, right? You do not make a lot of money off a lot of views, right? You've got to make, like, you've got to have a crap ton of views to really turn back an insane, like, amount of money. And the video has to be good, right? The amount of work that goes into it, blah, 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 blah. What frustrates me, though, is, like, I had a video on the NFL channel that had 20,000 views, and I made more money off that video than the Tennessee video that had 30,000 views, same length. And it drove me nuts. Drove me nuts. So the truth is, you don't make a whole lot of money off the YouTube ads that you see. Okay? You just don't. Now, do I make some? Yeah, I make some. Now, I'm not Mr. Beast over here. But go Canes. Let's go Canes. We'll talk to you soon. Talk to you next time. Pre-game, halftime, post-game show for Nichols. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! And tonight, HOTTOGO, we're doing Slammin' Salmon. Let's go. Oh, yeah, we already did the top two chatters. Roby, Taylor, Roby, Dane. Make sure. Sometimes my Venmo does not notify me. No Vinnies. Oh, man. We'll talk to you next week. All right, here in a few days. Let's go.